Thank you, Madam Chair. In the interest of time, I will not obviously respond to all the individual interventions, but I will group my responses thematically. And I will also not belabor some of the issues that I have mentioned already in my statement, which have also been raised by many of you. First, to start with, though, I think every single delegation, without exception, underlined the importance of solutions, both resettlement and complementary pathways, and also voluntary repatriation when conditions are conducive to it, and the need to create conditions that would lead to refugees repatriating voluntarily. I do want to underscore our entire support for those positions taken. I also want to underline the importance of increasing resettlement quotas and increasing the possibilities of complementary pathways, as I already mentioned in my statement as well. On statelessness, I am grateful to all the delegations, including the United States, Canada, Burkina Faso, Iraq, and others who have mentioned the importance of preventing and addressing statelessness, particularly Burkina Faso and Iraq, which have provided concrete examples of what they're actually doing in order to achieve that. Also, thanks to Canada for announcing its intention to join the Global Alliance to End Statelessness as well. On non-refoulement, I do want to thank the Africa Group, Burkina Faso speaking on behalf of the Africa Group, for underlining the cardinal principle of non-refoulement and the fact that it is a cornerstone of the international refugee protection regime and that it is part of international customary law. This is something that we do want to underscore and emphasize, not just in the Africa region, but in every other region as well. On the age, gender, and diversity and LGBTQI plus issues that were raised by the United States, Canada, and Australia, amongst others, know that we provide protection assistance and identify solutions to all populations that we serve, regardless of their backgrounds, in a completely non-discriminatory and inclusive manner. That is a long-standing organization commitment that we fully intend to maintain. Some delegations, including Sudan, Switzerland, and Ethiopia, also underlined the importance of education, access to education for refugee children. Know that in addition to the obvious benefits of obtaining an education, in other words, eventually employment and self-reliance, education is also a protection tool for refugee children since it does prevent recruitment in armed groups and exploitation as well. So we do appreciate the fact that the education has been underlined and its importance has been underlined by several delegations. Just a specific reference to the United Kingdom, yes, we are extremely grateful for the fact that the United Kingdom has rescinded its agreement with Rwanda in relation to its externalization program, and we just wanted to highlight that here in particular as well. Also, in relation to asylum processes, many of you mentioned your national asylum processes. We are grateful to the countries that have effective and efficient asylum processes, but we are also aware that many delegations here have expressed concerns about the ability of their national asylum processes to keep up with the number of applications that they're receiving, notably South Africa and others. I do want to say that we are here to support you in that regard, both in terms of training, capacity building, and support in other forms of support as well. So we are here, we are ready to assist you with that, and please know that this is a long-standing offer that we will keep renewing as well. I think finally, perhaps a very important point raised by the NGO Plan International, who mentioned the shrinking civic space. I do want to say this is of extreme concern to UNHCR as well. We do have some of our partners in certain countries who have been incarcerated purely because they are working with UNHCR. And again, I want to appeal to some of the member states here to advocate on behalf of these NGOs that really are facing extreme hardship in the countries in which they're operating. They need our help collectively to be able to operate independently and to assist us with our humanitarian operations in these countries as well. I think I will leave it at that, Chair.